see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
His haircut was just giving me, like, boys I went to middle school with in the late 90s to early 2000s vibe.
It was just missing, like, the frosted tips.
Right, like, there was no frosted tips, but it was, what did...
The ramp.
No, it's the, like, the...
The ramp.
No, is it just the flip? I don't know. I feel like I had a name for it, that hairstyle, when I was in middle school.
I didn't have a name for it. I called it hideous.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Wow. Colton is lost in the countryside. We might never find him again. Is he safe? Will he ever find happiness? A lot of really heavy things to dig into from last night.
And of course, the most important, relevant, and deep question of them all. Is Colton a virgin? Or did he fuck?
Right. Like, is he alive? And also related, is he still a virgin?
It's just, you know, we're just digging into a lot of really important material. But truthfully, I am actually really excited to talk about this episode, and we have so many thoughts and feelings that we decided just the two of us would talk about it today.
Yeah, we had such an overload of a wonderful guest last week, so we're taking a little breather. It's just us, and we can't wait to break this all down. There was a little bit of filler last night, but still plenty to talk about.
Pretty clear that they did not actually have enough footage to fill 4 hours. So instead, we're going to get a lot of live show. I think a lot of live show tonight, which I am dreading.
Just they could have fitted into a normal 3-hour finale.
But Claire, then how would they fill the two-hour blocks that ABC has blocked off to force all of us to give them ratings?
This was my concern about this whole thing to begin with is they've just started to think of a two-night finale as
the norm.
As the norm. It's like, oh, we can't go from having such a dramatic finale that it was two nights to having just a normal finale that's only 3 hours long.
Also, it seems that they're really digging into this whole we pause after everyone gets dumped and pull them to the hot seat thing.
Which I hate.
I hate it. I've taken issue with it every time. I like to see the whole thing, and then I like to get all the interviews in and after the final rose. I understand that this is just a transparent ploy to force people to watch all the way through, because I bet a lot of people dropped off at parts of after the final rose. But, like,
yeah.
Come on.
That's true. I mean, it does give us a chance to see more outfits and hairstyles from Colton, which
that is true.
We've already seen a couple looks from him in the past week.
There is a lot going on with his hair. Someone did send me a tweet over Instagram DM, I believe, or Twitter. I don't know. Someone sent me a DM with a tweet that included a side-by-side of Colton's new haircut and Cassie's dad's haircut, and they are the same.
Maybe they've been going to the hairdresser together.
Wow. Love Israel.
My dad and my brothers always used to have the same uneven bangs. It's like a nice, like, family style
His
way to get your hair done.
Was just giving me, like, boys I went to middle school with in the late 90s to early 2000s vibe.
It was just missing, like, the frosted tips.
Right. Like, there was no frosted tips, but it was, what did...
It has that sort of, I put my forehead down on an ironing board and just flat iron the bangs out like a unicorn horn.
Yeah, I'm trying to, it's not a faux hawk, Sarah. No, it's the like,
the ramp.
No, is it just the flip? I don't know. I feel like I had a name for it, that hairstyle, when I was in middle school.
I didn't have a name for it. I called it hideous.
Well, it is hideous.
Colton stood by the haircut, probably because he got it from Cassie's father's barber. But we should really get into the content of the... Emma's already, like, Googling 90s male haircuts. No,
it's true.
We have to get started.
Okay.
And remember that, like, although we cut in, it's a live finale, so we start out with Chris on a live stage. Can Colton still find love with Hannah Artasia? Could he lose his virginity? Could it happen tonight? Who knows? And then we get right back into the... manhunt underway in the Algarve, the Portuguese countryside.
Well, not right back into it, because they had to give us an entire season recap, which is frustrating. But yes, this is the footage I need. Like, this was riveting to me.
It was a whole different genre from The Bachelor.
I know.
Normally.
It was true crime. It was like, I was into it. Like, is he missing? Has he been chopped into pieces on the side of the road? Like, the tension was just
palpable. Like, I hear dogs barking. I see a man over there, a figure. Is it him?
Like,
does the figure have an axe?
You had that Blair Witch Project, like, sort of handheld camera vibe.
Yeah, I loved it.
I loved it, too.
We got to hear the producers talking about what they're going to do. Like, let's all get in a car, like, drive down the road really slow.
I loved it.
We get a clip of Chris on his cell phone by the side of the road, updating someone back, I guess, in L.A. or something about what's going on, and saying that it was 11:40, so we have a timestamp.
Right. And he seemed genuinely alarmed, which, understandably, because Colton must have ran really fast, because they, like, could not find him anywhere. And Chris
is
on the phone.
Looking for him in the underbrush. They're like, oh, let's go through the brush over there. I was like, what do you think? He's not a dog. Like, he's not.
You're like, just get in your cars. But Chris is like, look, if we don't find him soon, we're going to have to call the police. Which, yes.
I mean, he's an adult man with a wallet and phone. They don't need to call the police. Like, they sort of framed it as if he was a missing person. They'd have to call the police. But can you imagine them actually calling and be like, yes, our 26-year-old friend.
Fair point.
Left home, I guess, an hour ago.
He definitely does not have really his passport, worried. Though. Like, does, like, what is his money situation?
I'm going to say police, even if you have, like, a 15-year-old who runs away, they do not take that seriously until it's been, like, 48 hours.
True.
And they think that they're going to spring into action to bring back a 26-year-old adult. Like, maybe he has a really binding contract. There was something very unsettling about this whole sequence where, you know, it's Colton's an adult. If he wants to leave, he gets to leave. But they were pursuing him in this way that suggested that, like,
he has
no right to leave them. Yeah, it's like the hostage has escaped. Comb the grounds. He can't have gotten far.
There was definitely a bit of that vibe. Although they did seem genuinely concerned, given that it was not, like, a very well-lit area.
Yeah.
There didn't seem to be a lot around.
They seemed concerned, and they seemed,
well, also, like, concerned for their show.
Right. And I would hope guilty.
And for him.
Guilty. Because,
yes.
Like, they took this gamble that to bring Cassie's dad in, they thought it would cause drama.
It did.
And they didn't know it would blow back on them.
Right. They didn't realize that Colton would be like, I am actually done.
Right. And now that it has, they're in this uncomfortable position of trying to get him back when he's already sort of become aware that they are the ones fucking with him.
Right. They do finally find him. They see him up ahead. And one of the producers, who I assume is his, like, go-to person, says, like, slow down, let me get out of the car and, like, talk to him. And he is just does not want to talk to anyone, which is understandable. He's like, don't come near me. I'm not okay. Like, I am done.
So finally, Chris pulls up from, he was in
he's
a different caravan, so they all coordinated. Colton's over here. They're in town at this point. So Colton has apparently been on the lam for hours. He's walked all the way to town. And Chris comes up to him and Colton's like, I'm done with this shit. I have my phone. I have my wallet. Like, I'm going to a hotel. I'm done. And Chris is like, okay.
Are you done, done?
Are you yes. really done? And Colton yes. says, yes. Colton's a liar. But then Chris is like, so we can just, like, take you to the hotel in a car. It'd just be easier than walking. And Colton's like, okay, yeah, actually, that'd be nice. Colton, no. You can't be like, please, kidnapper, give me a ride to school. It would be easier than walking. You promise you're not going to take me back to your basement? Great. Because as soon as he agrees to get in the car, they have the cameras on him again.
Obviously.
They're interviewing him about how he feels. They're like, what are you going to do next? And in the morning, we wake up and he's back on board. So minute he showed weakness, which he should have kept running.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he does have a realization at some point that Hannah and Tayshia are still there.
Yeah.
And I do think that part of him going back to filming was that he felt a responsibility to right. those two women, which honestly, fair. They've been spending a few months of their lives.
Yeah.
And they're just like sitting and they have no idea what happened.
Hey, someone else can tell them. I mean, so Chris is sort of interviewing him while he waits for the car to take him to the hotel. And Colton is saying, I've known that I'm not enough for a long time. So every reminder of it just makes me stronger. Chris asks him, why don't you feel like you're enough? And Colton says, every time I put myself out there, I get fucking rejected. I said, I love you. And she said, I love you too. Goodbye. And Chris says, well, you're discounting Hannah and Tayshia, who have clearly said they love you. And Colton's like, oh, God, like, not helpful right now.
I know. Chris. I mean, it was just a, like, Colton has left the format of this show.
Right.
I mean, he does get back on board with filming, but he's not like, okay, well, I guess I should pick one of the final two. Like, he is done with the normal arc of the show.
Well, Colton's in the same mindset right now that I think a lot of people get into when they've been rejected by someone they really like, which is, no one ever loves me.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me? And you can point out, you know,
someone else.
This other cute chick yeah. has had a huge crush on you forever and you're not paying attention to her. And they don't internalize that because it doesn't. Because
it doesn't
good.
Land. And it doesn't land when
but
what
it
you feel is that the people that you love never love you back. And so you tell yourself a whole story about the fact that you must be unlovable. There's something deeply wrong with you. I mean, I relate. I think a lot of us have told ourselves that story. But yeah, we conveniently edit out the times that we have played the opposite role.
Right. It's like he's doing the same thing to Tayshia and Hannah now, but he can't really feel it that way because he's the star of his own story. And in his story, Cassie broke his heart.
And that's
these
real.
Other two
and
girls
that's also
are just
real.
Not really part of it.
And those things are all true at the same time, you know, because our emotions are not necessarily rational in these moments. The point is that you're feeling like a deep sense of hurt, and that can be a selfish experience.
So morning, Chris walks up to a hotel room in his casual flannel. I like a relaxed Chris.
Chris is pulling his weight these few episodes. This is how he earns his paycheck for the whole season.
It's for moments like this. Colton opens the door and they sit down. Chris asks how he is. He says, okay, I got a little sleep last night. And Chris is like, all right, let's talk about this. Last night
was wild.
It was wild, Rock. Man.
Incorrect word choice, I thought. Colton's just like, yeah. You could just hear him being like, is wild the word that we would use in his head? He just says, yeah.
I think it's probably the wildest thing Colton's ever done.
I mean, the fence jump was wild, but I'd say, like, the heartbroken exhaustion is, like, less wild.
Living on the edge. So Colton says, you know, I just needed some time alone to process and figure out my relationship with Cassie. And as hard as the night was, he knew that something was wrong as soon as he saw her walking up to him.
Yeah. I mean,
And he's a
perceptive guy.
And he's sort of he certainly thinks so. He's sort of talking about how after hearing her tell him how she was feeling and her father and the advice her father gave her, and he knew that she was definitely leaving, that was the peak for Colton of knowing how much she meant to him. And we hear this a few times during this episode, that sort of he fell in love with her sort of because she was leaving is sort of how he frames it.
I didn't interpret it quite as causation, more like what prompted the full realization was losing her.
I feel like we're saying the same thing.
But not that he fell in love with her because she left. I mean, maybe that's part of it.
I do think that he is sort of saying it would have been different. Like, if she had not said she was leaving, that he wouldn't have realized that he was, like, deeply in love with her, and he would have been able to keep going with the process.
He would have been able
to keep his heart open to the other women.
Oh, interesting.
Like, that's sort of what he was saying.
That's true. He does end up saying that later. I thought that was kind of a lie. I think he has known, and he would have been willing to go through the motions, but he knew he was going to choose Cassie.
I think that he would have had the fortitude to, like, fool himself into thinking that his mind was still open.
Fair.
But it's not, like, the most stable-sounding thing to say, like, I knew I loved her because she said she was leaving.
It's like
that
sort
of the narrative he's given himself.
Like, just want what you can't have.
Yeah. And so Chris says, so last night did change you. And Colton's like, it did.
I hate that. there always has to be a transformation narrative. I'm like, the dude just got his heart broken
and he's
pissed
a different person now.
And was very pissed at production and needed to get the fuck away from them.
Yeah.
Like, that is what happened last night.
It's really crazy how quickly they turned it around.
I know. It is masterful.
And Colton says, I was falling in love with Tayshia and Hannah, but after I fell in love with Cassie, that shut my heart
right,
off.
In that moment that you're like,
in that
God.
Moment. And he posits that the existence of these two other women in Colton's life was confusing Cassie. It was not giving her the certainty she needed in the relationship. And Chris says, are you sure that it's not just that she's, like, just not that into you?
I think that Chris is onto something here.
I think they're both right. I think that Cassie is not that into Colton, but
she's into him. But
right. But also, I think that the way that she was confused by the other two women is different from the way that Colton thinks she was confused.
Yes, I agree. I also think a lot of her hesitation was not about the fact that he had two other people around, but that she knew in her heart that she couldn't give him the thing he had said he wanted, which is an engagement and, you know, building a kind of permanent life with someone soon. And she thought, oh, you have these other two people here who might be able to give that to you.
Right. The way she was confused by them was that she thought he has other options, so now is a good time for me to bow out if I'm not sure.
And he seems to have taken from this that she only left because he wasn't committed enough to her. And that does not make sense to me.
Time for him to go spring a surprise wedding on her.
Oh, God.
That's what they need. So Chris asks where they go from here. And Colton says, you know, I didn't fight for someone I loved in the past. I'm going to fight for her this time. He's not going to make that mistake again. He has good instincts. His gut says that she loves him and she's scared, and he just needs to be with that woman who completes him.
But she also needs to want to be with him, too. And I think this is a key component here. It is impressive the, like, amount of confidence he has, given what we've seen, that he knows exactly how she's feeling and the only barrier was these other two women. My interpretation was that it's more complicated than that. Like, I do think he might be correct that if he goes and talks to her, that maybe she will be open to dating him.
Yeah.
But nothing bad
ever comes from convincing someone to be in a relationship with you by making compromises.
Yeah, like, I still don't think that it's as the narrative is as clear cut as he perhaps thinks.
Well, I think this also is why he was so upset with the show. Like, I think it almost wasn't even heartbreak as much as that he was looking at suddenly around at production and at this whole pathway he was supposed to follow and was like, this is the reason I can't have Cassie. I need to get out of this specific setting and then things will be different.
That's interesting. Partially true.
So unfortunately, there are some really miserable conversations Colton is going to have before. I mean, the thing about being the Bachelor is that it's such a privileged position. Like, you have so much power in those relationships. You get to date a bunch of hot people and pick the one you like the best.
And
but
yet,
the downside is that you have to, like, have these horrible breakup conversations. And his are even worse because they're not at a rose ceremony. It's not even...
They're not prepared. These women are not prepared for this to happen at this moment.
Right. Even when you dump someone at the on proposal day, it's usually much quicker.
Because also they are entering the situation knowing that this is going to go one of two ways. So they have, like, had the time to sort of steel themselves or think about what they might want to say in either scenario or just at least be, like, somewhat emotionally prepared. Not that it makes it easy to take, but this is like they are completely thrown off.
Yeah.
Especially Hannah.
But first he goes and talks to Tayshia. He is in a van on the move, pulls up to Tayshia's bungalow, door opens, and he asks her to talk outside.
I want to note that she was genuinely surprised to see someone at her door because you could tell that my friend pointed out last night, you could tell that they hadn't been in her room to light it.
Right. Well, that's why also why he asked her to talk outside.
He asked her to talk outside because so they
could mic her. Whereas with Hannah, they talked inside.
Exactly.
So asking her to talk outside was a way of being like, we need to talk on camera. And so they go sit down and he tries to start making his speech and he's too emotional. So she hugs him and says, it's okay. Tayshia really coaches Colton through this breakup like a champ.
God. Yeah. She was very good to him in these moments. And I do think part of that is just she seems to have that instinct in her. She seems like a very caring person. I also think that on some level, she knew that she probably was not going to be the one at the end. So I don't think she was prepared for this moment in time, and it was still very, very difficult. But I think on some level, she was prepared for it to happen at some point.
Yeah, and we talked about that after her fantasy suite date. But she's clearly not enjoying this conversation.
I don't think either of them are.
He tells her that she's incredible and that he owes her the respect and honesty of where he's at right now. He's doing his best. And he tells her that he was falling for her, but he can't love two people. His heart is with somebody else. He loves Cassie. I will say, again, Tayshia's facial reactions are very similar to good and bad news. Like, she's sort of smiling a little bit tightly, but sort of, it looks like a smile.
I recognize that face, though. It was the kind of, and Hannah had a little bit of this as well, sort of the, like, shock and processing face, and you're aware you're on camera, so you're kind of trying to
I think Tayshia's very aware of how being poised on camera
at
all times.
Which is why I think at that point she says, can we talk without all the cameras around? And you can see Colton kind of look over. I assume that
And that's after kind of a lot of long pauses.
Yeah.
He gives this little speech, and she says, mm-hmm. And then he says, I'm sorry, you don't deserve that. And there just is a long, awkward pause. And finally she says, let's talk off camera.
I don't think she wants to let herself go in that moment in front of the cameras. And they kind of look at the cameras, and Colton's like, yeah, I guess. I assume a producer gave a go-ahead.
But that, of course, because they were still mic'd.
Right.
And they just played the audio.
They also have the boom mic. I mean, we heard Nick and Caitlin have sex. So.
Seared into my brain forever, unfortunately.
I think that it seems like they probably knew that it would pick up something, but I think there also is a difference in having someone, like, cameras in your face.
Yeah.
There's an emotional difference.
It just felt weird to me that they played the audio of them having this moment that was supposed to be private. Like, because the audio wasn't even that interesting. It didn't add anything. We just hear them sort of crying a little bit and saying stuff like, I don't want to do this, or
that felt real. I know, like, it felt super real.
I'm sorry, it was boring. Like, and it felt like not worth betraying the fact that they wanted to have a private moment to me. I was wanted to go into a room and not be recorded for a second, and you sold them out so that you could play some snuffling. Like, I don't get it.
I think they probably knew that they were going to be recorded, but yeah. I mean, they're on, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it, because I also feel like it would have been unsatisfying to not have any idea what they spoke about. I don't know. I thought it was,
Maybe I would feel more that way if it was like a really important relationship in the show. Like, if it was Cassie, I might have felt more like I needed to know every moment. And instead, it's like, of course, they're just going to be like, this sucks. Like, I guess this is it. Goodbye. And that's not, doesn't really add that much for me.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And I always feel icky when they ask for privacy and then they hold the boom mic up to the door and play the audio. It makes me feel icky. It's like one of those moments when you're like, wow, they're really just like not letting these people have any humanity on this show.
Nope, you literally sign a contract giving that away. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more about night one of the two-night live Bachelor finale. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. He heads off. Tayshia, in tears, you know, gets her bags and gets in the van, and she's heading home. And look where she ended up, on the couch with Chris Harrison.
She looked flawless. Oh, my God. I mean, she and Hannah both. I was like, wow, this,
They were very prepared to face Colton again.
But sometimes, you know, there's like a bad outfit choice or like a weird hairstyle. Like, they were both just...
Like Colton's, you mean?
Yeah, like Colton's. The two of them, I mean, just perfect.
Yeah, and she's still trying to stay very composed. She says that she was in love with Colton. It was a surprise that he ended things that way.
very difficult to watch. She says that when she heard the knock on the door, she was sort of playfully saying, I wish it was Colton knocking, and then it was. But then she immediately, as soon as she saw his face, realized that it was not a good visit. She kind of creates the impression for me, again, that she knew it wasn't her. Like, she says something like, I wasn't ready for the journey to end. She never says anything like, I thought it was us. Or
right. Neither of them say that. And so it feels like they both knew.
Like her and Colton.
I mean, her and Colton.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Colton definitely knew. I don't think Colton ever thought it would be anyone but Hannah and Cassie, personally.
I agree.
So, but they have lots of wonderful experiences together, firsts.
She lists them all.
Skydiving, for example. Chris asks what it was like to hear that he was in love with Cassie, and she says that it hurt. True.
Yeah.
True.
Fair.
But she says, I knew how hard it was for him to admit that, and I had to remove myself from the situation and be there for him.
That was interesting. I was like, I am impressed by that, and I don't have that really in me.
Yeah. Oh, no, I definitely couldn't. But again, I do think it speaks a little bit to the fact that she was a little more prepared for it to happen.
Absolutely. She had the ability to remove herself from it, and I think they also had a real strong element of friendship between them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that came across in the breakup.
Yeah. So Colton heads out with his beautiful hair visor, and he asks how she's doing.
And
they're both.
You should
doing
just
good.
Know that Tayshia is wearing this like silvery, metallic, like broken glass dress.
She looked
statuesque.
I mean, the great thing for Colton is all of his finalists are so hot that it's like you can't even feel bad that you let one go, because it's like the other ones are also really hot, you know. There's no choosing between them. So they have a sort of natural moment together on stage, which is something we've seen throughout with Tayshia, that they make little jokes or they acknowledge how weird the situation is, and it makes them seem more kind of human and relatable.
Yeah.
So they talk about how nervous they are and how weird it is watching back. And she asks what was missing from their relationship, and he says basically nothing, like just that my heart, went all in for Cassie, and so I couldn't keep going being half in with you, and it has nothing to do with our relationship. It was just about me being focused on another one.
Which makes sense.
I mean, what else can you ever say?
Right. I mean, and usually when these things don't work out, it's not that, like, someone has this clear thing that you can pinpoint that's missing. I think when you're in the position of ending a relationship with someone, often you are actually agonizing over, like, why do I feel this way? And it's hard. It's hard to be in that position as well.
So Chris asks Colton if he has any regrets. Colton says, not really. Tayshia says, I wish the best for you, and I'm proud of the woman I've become because of you and this journey we were on together. And I hope that you're happy. And they say goodbye. Time to dive back in to his breakup with Hannah G. Chris keeps framing it to, like, Hannah G is the only woman left in Colton's life. And I was like, that's a weird way to put it. Like, he has a mom.
No, he cannot speak to any other women after this. It's like, are you going to spend your life with Hannah G, or are you never going to see a woman again?
The phrase, like, the woman in my life is just such a bizarre phrase, because even the most macho dudes have more than one woman in their life.
Correct.
But we know what Chris means. So we cut back in. It's nightfall in Portugal. Hannah is sitting on her suite's couch journaling. Tomorrow's a big day. She's going to tell Colton, I love you.
It's very jarring. Very, very jarring, because Hannah is still on the normal Bachelor.
Yeah.
And we have completely moved on from that show. So there's about 5 minutes here where I'm like, Hannah's on a different show.
Yeah.
This is very weird.
I mean, it's
not her fault. Why would she be acting any other way?
And she keeps saying that she didn't even know he'd had any other dates yet, which made me wonder what the timing was like, because he's had 2 overnight dates already. How does that work out? Like, how long has Hannah been in the Algarve? And how long?
A week or so.
And she doesn't think he's had any dates yet?
Who knows? I mean, also,
she said she doesn't.
Right. No, I know. I'm saying I think they keep them very in the dark about the timeline. And as far as she knows,
right,
they could have said, like, there's off time. I mean, so, she doesn't know.
So, I mean, either they're telling her he hasn't had any dates yet, or she's just assuming for.
Which is weird.
That days are going by without any dates happening. But she is ready. She's writing in her journal, like, I love Colton. Mrs. Colton Underwood, Mrs. Hannah G. Colton Underwood. She is so ready. She has this extremely girlish vibe because she's so, like, she is very young.
She felt very young to me in
because
these moments.
Because, like, the addition of the sort of the optimism and excitement shot through with how naive it seems, because we know that all this shit has already gone down, made her seem extra young.
That's true.
Oh, poor Hannah.
The whole thing was just broke my heart.
And she says she's never felt this way about anyone. She sort of enacts how she's going to tell him that she loves him.
This was just cruel of them to come in and do an in the moment.
Yeah. Well, it's like how they had that whole photo or video shoot with Becca being like, how excited are you to see Ari? Oh, look, here he is. And he has something to say.
Right. Oh, God.
So someone knocks. It's Colton. She doesn't pick up on the problem quite as quickly as Tayshia does. She's so excited to see him. They sit down and she's being kind of playful. She's like, oh, my stomach's going to be growling the whole time we talk. He's not worried about whether she's hungry. That's not why he's here. And he says, you know, I don't think that he handled either of these breakups super well, but to be fair, he's in a really rough emotional state.
Yes.
He tells her that she has been his rock through this whole experience, that she's always picked him up when he needed it. And unfortunately, he's realized that he can't be in love with 2 people. His feelings in another relationship are stronger because he loves Cassie. And Hannah,
she's just shocked. She's in shock.
She's not absorbing it yet.
She seemed to be betraying no emotions on her face. And I think she was just so taken aback by this turn of events that she needed some time to process.
Yeah.
And we got to watch it, for her.
She seemed very, like, she says several times that she thought it was going to be her, and I believed that watching this breakup.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, she says, the whole time I thought it was going to be us at the end, and I didn't doubt that at all.
Yeah. And then he says, I didn't think it was going to be like this. I thought it was going to be you. Ugh. He says, you still remind me of home.
Oh,
these
God.
Are the first of several times that Colton says things to Hannah that he definitely means to be comforting, but
absolutely.
That are not.
Yeah, I didn't fault him necessarily, like, but the things he was saying are just daggers to the heart. It's so brutal. I thought it was going to be you, but then I decided it wasn't.
Right. There's something about that that I think would it would really make me feel like I fell short. Like,
right.
I let him down in some way. Like, what did I do to go from being the person he planned to pick to being not as good as Cassie?
And then you just feel incredibly, incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Which she says. She says she's really, really embarrassed and she's thrown off. And at one point, he's like, you made me better, which is another really annoying thing to say to someone. And I kind of loved her response. She's like, that's what I do. I make everyone better and they don't want to stick around.
Right.
And that felt like a really human feeling.
Well, she's reacting to this a lot like he reacted to Cassie.
Yes.
Dumping him. They're both like, oh, of course, another person who thinks I'm great but, like, doesn't want to be with me. It did make them all feel, like, kind of young to me, but that it's a natural reaction, but just that you haven't yet come to grips with the fact that everyone gets rejected and you reject some people and other people reject you. Like, relationships are complicated.
Yes, but I don't know that it's necessarily, like, saying those things in a moment of deep hurt doesn't necessarily mean that you don't understand that these things happen.
Yeah.
Like, I still think when you are in the middle of being rejected, you feel those things to be true. Like, I am 31 and, like, I still feel those things to be true when I am rejected by a person that I like. And there are moments where I say things that are not rational, and in my moments where I'm calmer, I'm like, of course, this is life. So much of it is luck and timing, and, like, I have rejected people and people have rejected me. But when someone that you had allowed yourself to imagine something more with and that you began to feel safe suddenly, like, exit stage left, it feels like, oh, well, this just plays into the worst narrative that I could have told myself about my life.
I don't think even youth is what I'm reacting to. I think it's just that it's weird to see it happen to one person and then have them do it to the other person in such quick succession.
Yes. Yes.
And to see that role switch flip.
Oh, it's really jarring. Especially because we're not in their emotions.
Right.
So we can see it clearly.
Yeah. It's definitely not the youth thing. It's just such a weird thing to see the role reversal happen so quickly. You don't see that a lot, even on this show, because it's usually just one person in the rejecting role the whole way through. So it's such a difficult conversation to watch. I really felt bad for Colton having to deal with this when he's in such a rough emotional state.
I felt bad for all of it. I'm like, I just feel bad for everyone involved.
Yeah, and I did critique how he handled this breakup, but mostly just because I think that there can be universal lessons to take away from watching people break up and seeing them use strategies that might be ideal and might not be ideal.
Oh, absolutely.
I understand that it's a very difficult thing to do, especially when you're so so fragile in that moment. You know, she reacted really poorly to the fact that he said again that she felt like home to him. She, I think, had taken that very much as a hint.
Which,
that she was the person he was choosing. And then that was revealing to her, I guess, that it was just a general compliment.
Right.
didn't really mean anything. So by the time that he leaves, she's pretty mad. She's pretty angry.
You know what? It's sort of refreshing to see someone get pissed off. Like, Colton was pissed off. She's pissed off. Like, Hannah's pissed off. Mm-hmm. Anger is a natural emotion.
Yeah.
We don't see it all that much on this show, unless it's like some dude being extremely aggro when he shouldn't be angry. And all of this anger that we've seen felt really justified to me.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because he does keep throwing in these comments to make her feel better that don't work. He even starts saying, you know, I don't want to lose you. I don't know if I'm making the right decision.
Not have that conversation with yourself, sir.
Right, because he's not taking it back. He's just floating the possibility in front of her.
Which also clearly makes an impact on her, because she says when she's in the hot seat, I kind of thought you were going to chase me.
Right.
Because he left that open a little bit.
Right. So finally he says, you don't deserve to be anyone's backup plan. You don't deserve to be second. I don't know what else to say. And she says, I don't want to leave here without you.
Ooh.
And that's what happens. He leaves in the hallway. He's like berating himself. He's like, what the fuck are you doing, Colton?
Oh, God.
He stops to sob in the hallway. A producer, the ponytail producer we only see from the back trying to talk to Colton, comes up to him and asks if he's okay and hugs him. And he says, I'm scared. And his face is just covered in tears. And he says, I don't know if I'm giving up a for sure thing for something that's impossible.
Which, I mean, maybe.
I mean, yeah, but, like, probably for the best.
Right. Because he is right. She doesn't deserve to be a backup plan.
Right. And Hannah packs up her stuff, gets in the van, and is like, I don't want to talk about it.
Another really rational reaction.
Yeah. I do wonder if that might be a moment that cost her Bachelorette campaign-wise. They probably didn't love that.
I mean, her arc, I just kept thinking, like, this poor woman got her heart broken. And also, like, really didn't get the screen time she deserves as the
right.
one who has paid the price of having her heart smashed on national television.
Right. so
she did deliver in her hot seat, though.
She did. She is already crying when we get to her on the couch. She is clearly still really emotionally bound up in the relationship with Colton.
And it's only been a few months, right?
Yeah.
It hasn't been that long.
Especially if for part of it you thought he was going to come after you.
Right. So. And she's reliving this because they don't know exactly how things wrapped up, probably. I mean, I'm sure that they all know at this point. I'm sure they've all been spoiled. But having to relive all of that and see yourself so happy and also have to promote it, I mean, it just sounds brutal.
Yeah. And she also looks like a Disney princess. This, like, she looks like Cinderella.
Emerald green color is incredible. It makes her eyes look quite green.
Yeah.
The standard of hotness
on the show keeps going up, and it's like I keep getting further away from it because I'm getting old and haggard. But she's very upset. She tells Chris that when Colton showed up, she sort of thought that maybe he was there to say, like, you're the only one left. She didn't know if he'd had other dates. She thought he was going to surprise her. Like, you don't know why he's showing up off schedule. And she had felt really confident. Watching back his reaction, which was so fraught, to saying goodbye to her, made it also difficult for her to think about moving on. So she's really struggling.
I also thought it was notable that Tayshia was like, you know, watching all of this back has been really therapeutic for me to an extent. And I, like, see why it wasn't us. And for Hannah, it's had the opposite effect.
Yeah. Well, because we all thought of her as I think a lot of people thought of themselves as front runners in the house, that because of the way it ended up being edited or comparisons to other relationships that we saw on screen did not come off as front runners so much. Like, Kaylin, I never thought was going to win.
Same.
But Kaylin definitely thought in the moment she was going to. So I think you can watch that back and say, like, oh, now that I see the other relationships, et cetera.
I get it a little more.
I think Tayshia probably had that experience. You know, like, Colton never threw me up against a wall in a bikini and, like, shoved his tongue down my throat. I see now the difference. For Hannah, her vibe with Colton was so similar to Cassie's. There was such a similar level of just, like, raw chemistry.
Right. We never really see much of what the difference is except that he ends up articulating that he loves Cassie.
Right. So it must have been very confusing to watch. It was confusing for me. I'm not even involved. Chris asks if she's still in love with Colton, and she says no. She was in love, and she thought it was going to be them, but love is a two-way street, and so she's not in love with him anymore.
This felt like a bachelorette audition to me.
It also felt like she was, like, trying to talk herself into it.
Right,
she's like, I can't be in love with him because he doesn't love me. So by definition, I guess I'm not in love with him.
Right.
And I was like, oh, honey.
My feeling was like, you're allowed to still be broken up over this.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to even still have feelings of love for this person because, grieving a relationship isn't necessarily linear.
Yeah. If being in love with someone has to be mutual, then, I mean, that changes a lot of things. And, I mean, it was so sad to hear her talking about what it's been like through the taping of the show, having people coming up to her and saying, let me see your engagement ring.
Oh, God.
That
and she starts to choke up as she talks about this.
Yeah.
This made me frustrated that we'd seen so little of her actually talking on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because in these moments, like, she came across really effectively. She was quite eloquent. And we got very little from her on the show. And I don't know if that's because she just wasn't used to the cameras, so wasn't giving a lot, or if they just didn't feature those things.
Right.
But
I do get the sense that she's a little reserved, but also that they didn't give her the bachelorette edit.
Yeah.
And when we had Katie on last week, she mentioned that Hannah has a really vibrant personality and is really funny, and we're just like, we didn't see any of
it. I wish I had.
So Colton comes out and sits next to Hannah, and she basically says, I loved you and you asked me to trust you, you asked for my dad's blessing, I thought it was us. That also was, I wonder what it was like to see that he asked every dad for the blessing, like, all these signs that she thought were specific to her. And only some of them were. And So what she basically asks is, why didn't you keep giving me a chance until you couldn't anymore? Like, why didn't you give me that last date? And he says, well, I tried to be open, but once I knew I had given myself to Cassie, I couldn't continue knowing that I wouldn't be all in on exploring our relationship.
Colton's demeanor in these two conversations really felt like a tell that he is with Cassie in some capacity, because he seemed to be doing that thing that the bachelors and bachelorettes do, which is protecting that other relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not coming off as too emotional in these sit-downs, trying to indicate that, you know, that chapter has been closed.
Right. He seemed to have a sort of, like, positive but not too upbeat, very careful demeanor. And I do think, if he hadn't gotten together with Cassie, I do think he would be much more emotional about how those relationships went down. I feel like there would be more guilt on display. And instead, he was very much like, I did what I had to do. And I think it's just easier to, like, get through these conversations if you have that happy feeling of, like, the person that I did this for is, like, waiting for me. It's easier to, like, keep
even keeled.
To him,
it feels worth it in the end. And for Hannah, she's just reliving this hell recapped over and over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. So she asks if they'd had more time together, if he'd given her another chance. Does he think maybe this could have worked out differently because, you know, she thought that everything was there that there needed to be in their relationship? And he says, basically, I've thought about it. I could think about it a lot, but basically, like, I don't want to answer that. Like, he kind of talks around it. He never really says it could have been different. He's just sort of like, this is my life, and these are the feelings that I have, and so that's what I had to do. He doesn't want to really indulge the you know, if we'd had our date first.
Right.
Or,
and I understand why she asked that, and I also understand why he didn't feel it would be beneficial to indulge it. And both of those things are true.
Yeah.
And of course she's running those scenarios through her head.
Of course.
You know, it's very natural.
I've been like, what if Hannah G had her date first?
Right, exactly.
I don't know if it would have gone the same way.
And then, of course, Chris interjects just to really just dig in the knife and is like, did you think about doing that overnight date? And Colton's basically like, no.
I mean, I don't think that he really could have.
No, I don't think he could have either.
He says.
But it's like Chris needed him to say that so that you could just see Hannah, like.
Oh, Hannah.
Drop.
And he basically does say, you know, quitting, running away from the show was selfish because I did still have to talk to Hannah and Tayshia, but I wasn't thinking about the show anymore. I was just thinking about my life and, like, what I wanted in my life. And Hannah says, I can relate because what Cassie did to you is what you did to me, and I was left with nothing.
I was very glad she pointed that out.
She got really honest. I loved it. She was like, I thought you were going to chase me. I asked a producer to tell me to brush my hair if you were going to come. I trusted you so much, and it's been really hard for me that, you know, your heart took you in a different direction.
I really loved the honesty here. It was great.
And then she says, it is what it is, but I can't lie and say it didn't hurt when you told Cassie that you thought about her when you were with me. That sucked.
I love that she said this.
Yeah, because it was such a, like, oh, that must have been so hard for both of
them. Yeah, that was our reaction as viewers, like, oh, what an honest and brutal thing to have to hear. And I was glad that Hannah called it out, because that is the moment where, as someone who's in her position, you might feel like, okay, so you were duping me?
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that he was like, I was honest with you the whole time. This moment with Cassie was when I knew that I couldn't be all in with you anymore. But also in that moment with Cassie, he was admitting that he already was more all in with Cassie than with the other women, including Hannah, even though he told Hannah that he thought it would be her. So, like, some things aren't adding up, and Hannah notices.
And again, I do feel for him, and we've, you know, had Nick on a bunch of times, and he's talked about how, as the lead, this is a really, really tough time, because there is an element where, to play along with the show, you have to do some acting, and you have to not betray your choice to the remaining women. So, like, he's in a difficult position, but
yeah,
I tend to, my empathy is probably more with Hannah.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't have anyone else to comfort her. She right. needs us.
Yes, she needs us.
Hannah, come
we're,
on over.
We're here.
Hannah says, so Chris asked Colton if he really felt that way, if he was really thinking about Cassie when he was with the other women. And
Chris,
he says yes.
Chris
is just digging in there.
In the knife.
I mean, I appreciate it. I want to know if that's real. And Colton says it is true. So then, Hannah is like, now's the moment for me to retreat and be graceful. And she says, I hope you're happy. And going through this showed me how strong I am. Everyone needs to go through a really bad breakup at some point. It really molds your character. And she wants someone who will jump a fence for her. Same. Now there are no more women in Colton's life, Chris points
None.
Out. None. Does he even know a woman?
It's
Has he met one?
A bachelor first. Except, is it?
I think it.
I mean, it is a first in this sense, but Brad didn't choose anyone.
Right. I think that it's a first for it to happen while there is still show left to
True.
Unspool.
True. Yes. It is definitely a bachelor first. And again, I am on board with these endings that that stray from format. It is just so much more interesting.
I agree.
Also, apparently, I love just people's emotional pain. It's like the only thing that can make me feel anything on this show.
Wow. We're monsters.
Yeah.
We eat
like
emotional pain to sustain ourselves.
I felt like a real, real monster watching, being like, this is so brutal and I'm really heartbroken for all of them, but also like, wow, I am riveted by it.
Yeah. No, Emma and I were talking about this last night and I was like, I just feel like seeing someone really heartbroken is much more convincing to me about the power of the human heart to love than seeing someone being happy about someone they're in love with. That doesn't, like, it's not right and like it's
no,
not
I
fair.
Agree.
But seeing someone be really torn up is what really convinces me that love is real. And so I just love that. I'm like, wow, humanity, we really hold so much capacity for emotion within us.
I also think as viewers of this show, it is this weird dance where for so much of it, we're distancing ourselves from these people. You know, we're poking fun. We feel very outside of what we're watching. You know, we don't date by going on insane, you know, dates in helicopters a few times a week. Like, well, most of us, maybe some of you do, not me. And there's something about watching these breakups that feels just so much more relatable.
Yeah.
You can see yourself in these moments, things mm-hmm. that have happened in your past, perhaps. And that's, I think, harder to do when it's like they're in a gold gown in Thailand on the back of an elephant after someone proposed to them.
Yeah, it's not relatable. So then we get a little break from format that I didn't love.
Oh, God.
Which is that Chris Harrison has, to fill some time, assembled a panel
of men.
Of men who, I guess, know Colton. To give us the same insights about Colton that everyone else has already arrived at. So we have Ben Higgins, Blake, Garrett, and Jason.
I was really hoping that I would never have to see Garrett on my television again, but apparently that is not the case.
I did love having him there, though, because it was an opportunity for Chris to be like, and your girl is here somewhere. They can't find her. Did she run away? Would you blame her? Just a delightfully awkward
moment.
I'm
just saying, I would have preferred Becca.
I mean,
on that panel, you know?
I think that Becca could have added a little more insight. She's been the person breaking Colton's heart before.
Exactly. Bring out like Tia and Becca.
Yes.
And Allie Raisman. Like, I want all of Colton's exes.
I want to know what they have to say about why he's not lovable. Tia would have some different insights to offer. They just like talk about how great it is that he's following his heart for like 10 minutes. There's an awkward silence.
I loved when
Jason just has to, like, Jason's like, something to fill the silence.
Like,
have we
haircut.
Talked about that haircut yet? Have we talked about it, guys?
You know, Jason really is a good, like, host narrator. It was very funny to me that he really took the initiative there. I mean, you would expect the consummate professional like Ben Higgins to jump in, but even Ben was like, I have spoken for 3 minutes about Colton and I have nothing left to say about him.
And that kind of wraps up the episode, except that we get a preview of next week. Colton just wants to be with Cassie. We see Cassie packing up. Is she still in Thailand? Did they not let her
leave?
Was
this a preview, or this felt like a continuation of the show? Like,
I think it's a preview of what's going to happen next week. Or
yes,
not,
but then
they end tonight.
But then tonight. They ended on a to be continued. So we saw a little bit of Cassie is still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's, I guess, packing for real. And no, they, I see in your notes, Claire, you said, did they not let her leave? And they wouldn't have let her leave because all the final three have to leave at the same time.
Oh.
So they would have, no matter then, what so happened, they would have held them all there.
But so they always do the thing where it's like, he dumped you, now immediately get in the van. Where do they go?
They go to another hotel.
Another hotel?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why can't they just stay at the same hotel?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, they're just to give them a dramatic yeah. right away?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or they drive them around and then move them to another room in the same hotel. That's also a possibility.
I would love to know what's actually going on.
We'll have to have, like, Tayshia or Hannah on and ask them.
Yeah. So, I mean, Cassie is giving her speech that I really can't tell if it is that she doesn't want to be with Colton and she's trying to say it in a nice way.
She says she's really excited to move on with her life.
Right.
I mean, I understand that in her mind this is done and he's probably with one of the other women. But it really, you would think that they would have shown her perhaps expressing some doubts, and instead they really leaned into
right.
her being like, yeah, I made the right decision. Like,
yeah.
I feel great about it. Ready to move on. Let's go. Let's get back to California.
But she is saying it in the sort of self-sacrificing way of, like, he wants a family and I can't be the girl to take that away from him, something so special. Like, I want him to have what he's looking for. So I guess I'm just heading off back home. But then she is like, I'm so excited to see my family. Like, I was, like, a little confused as to what she was actually thinking beneath
these rationales. Well, I think she might still be, to be honest.
True. Colton does a little Corinthians remix. Love is scary. Love is not simple. Love is messy. Love doesn't know what the future holds for me.
Wow.
So
love is patient. Love is kind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he pulls up to the hotel just like Cassie's dad did. We're going to get a little replay of the Cassie's dad intervention, but this time it's Colton. And that's where we leave off.
All we hear is him knocking and saying, hey. Dun, dun, dun. To be continued.
He's coming for his lady. Something that Garrett says in their little round table is like, Colton just has to do what it takes to get her. And I was like,
Well,
I think he gets one more crack at
right.
it. I think he gets one more try.
You tweeted this last night and you said, like, everyone, you know, can get one chance to sort of make their case again, check back in and say, hey, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm still interested in you. Are you open to it? Totally agree. But then you got to.
You know what I was thinking
of? Back down.
I was thinking of, for all my Anne Shirley heads out there, I was thinking of Gilbert Blythe and how he proposes to Anne in college and she says no and he is heartbroken and takes like a year or two apart from her. They don't really hang out anymore. She dates someone else. And then like 2 years later, he comes back to her and proposes again and she says yes. And I was like, I think that's okay. You're not like bothering her. You're not
stalking her.
You're not smothering her. You're just like,
I
still feel this way. I don't want to not ask in case your mind has changed in the past like 2 years. I'm just going to check in.
I mean, Pride
Turns
and Prejudice.
Turns out you love me now. Exactly. Pride and Prejudice. A lot of classic love stories go that way. But you can't persist.
And you also can't assume that if you just try harder, someone else's feelings will change because you can only control your actions. You cannot control the emotions of another person. I completely agree that it is okay to check in a respectful way and say, this is where I'm at. I still feel this thing for you, and I'm just giving you that information. No, but honestly,
do with it what you will.
Like, either, like, does this change or not? I'm going to respect it either way, but I'm putting myself out there again. And
this isn't like a double jeopardy situation. Like you can try again a second time with the same case.
Just in a respectful manner.
In a respectful and restrained manner.
Yeah.
And I think that you made a good point that this would be read very differently if it was a bachelorette. We've never seen a bachelorette pursue like an escaped contestant in this way. It would be read as very desperate. And I was thinking, whereas Colton is being given this very heroic sort
right. of. Even if some audience members are not perceiving it that way, the narrative they are pushing is that he is now brave enough to fight for love for the first time. And that is what will bring her back to him. And the message is like, fight for love, fight harder. Fight. Yeah.
Persist. Love.
Do all of these really dramatic, you know, make all of these dramatic gestures, because that is what will get you love in the end. And so often that's not true.
Yeah. And I think that the way that we look at that for women has a couple different dynamics at play. One is the sort of traditional, you know, it's not a woman's place to pursue a man. But I also think that it would be perceived as pathetic from the opposite angle, which is, don't you value yourself enough to, like, not run after a man who doesn't want you? I don't think that anyone would really be a fan of a woman going after a man. Like, I don't think anyone would perceive it as a feminist victory if a bachelorette was like, I'm going to fight for this guy. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Yeah, I think it would be read as off on both, from both perspectives.
Right. It's like really lose-lose. Speaking as someone who has done that before, no one was impressed.
Again, the instinct is understandable.
Right. And I remember when I was younger having this very strong sense of outrage that I was like, men get to go after the women they really want, and I'm supposed to pick from the guys that go after me. When do I get to be with the guy that I really want? Like, how do I make that happen if I'm never supposed to chase anyone?
Yeah, and we do exist in a world, in you know, I've seen it in the dating lives of friends of mine, where, like, sometimes it works mm-hmm. when men persist, and just say, I'm here, I'm staying here, I'm interested in you, I'm going to keep letting you know that. And sometimes that does work. I have not really many times seen it work in the reverse. And it's not that, again, a woman shouldn't be able to pursue a man, but I do think that we've all internalized this narrative of it, that, like, that is a desperate act, that women can be, you know, worn down because they just need to see this show of dedication. Whereas men, I guess, know their feelings well enough, and they are immutable.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's very interesting, and it's definitely complicated because there are exceptions to all of these quote unquote rules. But it just made me feel a little weird watching the way that they were framing it and the way Colton was framing his own actions. Because to me, going after someone again would feel so terrifying, because I would assume that there's probably nothing I could do and that my actions wouldn't make a difference and that I would end up looking worse.
Right. I mean, I'm nervous about how this is going to go down. I feel like the only thing he really can or should do is go talk to her and say, like, we're in this really crazy situation, but I want you to know that, like, I've left the show, essentially. I'm no longer concerning myself with the format. I'm no longer concerning myself with finding a wife on this show. I see you as the woman in my life, and if you'll have me, I would like to try a relationship.
Yeah, I agree.
And not take the show or what I originally said were my goals into consideration at all. And then, like, see if that changes her mind. But, like, you can't – I don't think that there's, like, a gesture that should feasibly or could feasibly convince Cassie to change her mind if she doesn't really just want to date him.
Right. Exactly. Are in a weird situation. So, again, it's totally worth him putting it out there. But yeah. I don't know. I just had a lot of very mixed emotions and couldn't help thinking of the gendered element of all of it, which I guess fills in for our feminism fails for this episode.
Yeah. And I'm nervous to see how it plays out tonight,
Claire. We get to do it all over again.
I can't wait to see how it plays out. I hope that he is respectful and that it doesn't turn into some sort of narrative about how men need to impress women with their acts of valor in order to earn their love. But we're going to find out in just a few hours, so can't wait. All right, it's time for Feminism Fails, and we already discussed this during the body of the show, but we just want to give a special call out to that hero edit Colton is getting for doing whatever he has to do to win over Cassie. This is a framing we would not see for a female lead, and it's totally fine if Colton wants to ask Cassie for, respectfully for another chance, but there are definitely some misogynistic overtones in how differently he is being edited and portrayed versus how a woman would be in a similar situation.
I guess we'll give that a 3.5?
Yeah.
Whatever.
We're doing this by feel.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends for today. Thanks to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Colton season recaps and the Bachelorette recaps whenever she's announced. Can't wait to find out. Also, please give us a rating and review, 5 stars, so other people can find our show. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
You can also follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
We'll be back tomorrow.
It's all coming down to this.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.